somehow with each passing year, it seems that Chodesh Nisan comes around a little faster than the year before. I think the point of departure, they have some perspective on the Yontif of Pesach. Omalei Rav Nachman Lidoro Avdei, the Gemara in Pesachim Kuftei Zayin Amar Aleph. Rav Nachman turned to his servant Doru and he asked him a question. Avdo de Mopik Leimore Lecheiras, that a slave whose master redeems him. And not only does he redeem him, but v'yoev le'kaspo v'davo, he enriches him, he gives him silver and gold. My boy le'meimaleis, and what response does this call forth? Omalei boy la'uduya ilu shabuche, that he has the responsibility to give praise to his master. Shevach v'hido. That he's really gone to the heart of what the entire night of Pesach is, that boy the shabuch ele oduye, we have to give shabach and haido. Haido is distinct from shabach. We talk about shabach and haido. Shabach is something where we talk about the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We study the far reaches of outer space and that there are planets and galaxies, etc., who knows, millions of light years away from us. It speaks of the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shalom. But what happens in those galaxies, as far as I know, has very little to do with my life. They exist, they don't exist. I go on with my life just the same. But I recognize the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in them. And that's Shevach. Haido is something of an entirely different nature. Haido is the personal connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. That which the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has done for me. The things that he's provided me in my life. That make my life comfortable, meaningful, significant. That's Haido. It's a very big distinction between Shevach and Haido. Pesach is not only Shevach, but Pesach is the ultimate statement of Haido as well. The Mishnah tells us that on Pesach we have to view ourselves that we went out of Mitzrayim. Over Omar Rabo, Tzoroch Sheyemar, Vosonu Hotzi Bisham. That the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has taken us out of Mitzrayim. And this is become part of the Haggadah itself. That Chayav Odom Liros Atzmo Kiluhu Yotam in Mitzrayim. This is not something that happened to earlier generations. There are things that happened in this country that are important. More than 200 years ago, the founding fathers declared the independence of this country. They established a political system of significance. These are events which are the bedrock of American society. On July 4th, the society stops to note the founding of these institutions. But the founding of these institutions is at great distance from us. It's happened centuries before by figures that are very far removed from us. But nevertheless, we celebrate those founding events. We could perhaps celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim in similar fashion. There are events that happened early on in Jewish history, which are the very bedrock, the foundation of the Jewish people. But it is not only that. We have to view ourselves, we ourselves are part and parcel of that exodus, of the events which took place in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a very personal dimension, not merely an historic celebration, but a personal passage. Debriskarova Velvo Zechatzadik Nivrocha. There's been right before the Hallel, the text states, there are two versions of the text. It says Lafika Hanachnu Chayovim Lahoidus Lahal Lishamayach Lafar, etc. And then it ends in Rose text Venomar Lafon of Shira Chadosha. And there's a correct text of Nemar Lafon of Shira Chadosha. Venomar Lafon of Shira Chadosha means in the future, we shall, something which has yet to take place. V'ne'amar l'fonav means, and it was said, something which has taken place in the past. Our forefathers recited the Hallel, in whatever version, as they left Mitzrayim. So we simply imagine that what we are stating is, V'ne'amar l'fonav shira chadosha, that this was a Hallel which was recited before the Rebbe Shalom. And yet the Briskerov defends the text of Enomar Lefon of Shira Chadosh. We shall presently say a Shir Chadosh, a new song of thanksgiving to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Why? Because Chayav Adam Liros is Atzmo Ki Ilahu Yotzav Risham. This is not something that merely happened to our forefathers, but we ourselves experience and relate to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It is so significant in its impact in the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael that it's a personal journey. And therefore, B'noimar Lefonov, we have to proclaim presently our thanksgiving to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It is not merely what our forefathers have said, but it is something which has to stem from the deepest recesses of our own hearts, the thanksgiving for what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has done for us personally. And this really, as the Gemara said, the Yisod of the Seder is Chayim L'Shabuchay L'Oduyay is to give Haidah to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The entire Haggadah is, from that perspective, is to give Haidah to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Kaisis. We have four Kaisis at the Seder. Where does the notion of kosis come from? What's the root of kaisel brocha and klal yisrael? We have a kais by kiddush, a kais at avdolah. Where does it come from? The shiltais writes in parshas yisrael that it stems from the Beis Hamikdash itself. They in shira el alayayin, together with the shira in the mikdash, there was the service of the pouring of the wine. In Shira Ella Al Yayin. And from that notion that Shira is associated with Yayin, Chachamim enacted the entire concept of Kaishal Brocha. That when we come to praise the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to sing Shira to him, it's Ala Kais, together with the Kais. Whether we sing the praises of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for having given us Shabbos, we sing the praises of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for the Virat Chagim throughout the year, but it's Ala Kais. If we have a minyan, our minyan is that we recite the Birchas Hamazon Ala Kais. The Arba Kaisais are four expressions of Haido to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The very first Kais is an expression of praise to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for Kedushas Yisrael. Asher Boch Amonu Mikolom, Rebbe Amonu Mikoloshet. It's the first and most significant lesson that a Jew has to understand. We are not like the world around us. Our entire existence, our perspective, our spirituality is different than everyone else around us. For the world, it suffices to have seven mitzvahs. That man should have a measure of civility and a recognition of the presence of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael was given the opportunity by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that every moment of our existence is tied to Shechina, is tied to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. And that's Asher Boch Abonu Mikol Nom, V'Rom Abonu Mikol Lashon, v'kiddushanu b'mitzvayso. Life is something that's very sanctified. And perhaps that's why we have this very deep respect for life. Because we realize the holiness, the sanctity with which it has been endowed by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So the very first kos is we thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for the spiritual standing that we have, that he has chosen us. The second of the kaisas, the Gemara says, is Omer Malov, the Haggadah, or recite the Haggadah. The Haggadah is to explore the chesed of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, but how the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, not only in a material sense, has elevated us, but in a spiritual sense, so he has elevated us as well. That's why in the Gemara we find, the Mishnah states that one aspect of the celebration of the Seder is Maschil B'gnus U'Masayim B'Shevach. Begin with the humiliation, with the degradation of the Jewish people, and end with its triumph. And the Gemara raises the question, my bignus, what was the humiliation of the Jewish people? Rav Omar Matchila Ivde Avedizara Hoyo Avosedim. That we were idol worshippers. As the Haggadah says, Terach Avi Avram. We were no different than the rest of the world around us. We also were caught up in the wave of idol worship. Shmuel Omar Avodim Hayinu. That we were enslaved. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam brought us forth in two regards. The Haggadah begins with Avodim Hayinu, from the physical emancipation of the Jewish people. We suffered, we were enslaved, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam miraculously brought us forth from Mitzrayim, a society in which no slave could escape. It was the Iron Curtain of the ancient world. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tore down the Iron Curtain, freed us from the grasp, the mightiest empire on the face of the earth. But that is not as significant enough. What the Rebbeinu Shel Olam also did in the process, as he brought us forth from the pathways of Terach, Avi Avram, and Oved Avodah Zarah, and we emerge to receive the Torah of Har Sinai, an eternity of association with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that was also achieved through Matan Torah. And we celebrate both the physical emancipation and the spiritual sanctification of the Jewish people. The Brocha of Shechianu that we recite on Pesach and at other times in the year is a celebration of both. The Nesivos, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, writes in his Haggadah, he had a very keen eye for text. And he says, let's examine the Brocha of Shechianu. And it not only is redundant, but it's redundant twice over. Shechianu, if we were penning this bracha, any one of those three words, either Shechianu or Vikimonu, Vihigiyonu, would suffice. The basic bracha stating that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has allowed us to endure and arrive at this particular moment. And we thank him for that. So why the threefold statement, Shechianu, Vikimonu, Vihigiyonu, Lazman Hazeh? And the Nesivos tells us, Shechianu is Am Yisrael Chai, that we're alive. That itself is one of the anomalies of history. No one would have bet on our survival. And as I often remark, I teach 10th graders. They study global history. When I went to school, they called it world history. And I like to pick up the books and thumb through the books from time to time just to be familiar with what they're studying. At the beginning of the global history book, there's a little box, and it lists some of the ancient peoples of the world. The Hittites, a few other ones, and the Hebrews. No, four or five would make lists. And I point out to them, let's read this list. Of all the people in this list, there was only one that's still flying around this world. And that's the last one anyone would have bet on in history. That persecuted, exiled, what establishes nationality in this world? Nationhood. Nationhood is defined as a common language, a common geography, and a common perspective on life. We lack the first two, without any question, for most of our history. We did not have a common language. We did not have a geographical location. We had, though, the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. And because of that, the Ribbono Shel Olam promised that Am Yisrael is Nitzchi, that Shechiyonu, Am Yisrael Chai, we're here. But we are not ones to be happy merely with that. The Kimaru, he tells us, you say Baruch Shamar each day. It's Chai Lo Ad, V'Kayom Lo Netzach, about the Rebbe Shel Olam. Kayom means, as the Novi and Malachi writes, Ani Hashem Lo Yishanisi. The Rebbe Shel Olam is unchanging. His principles are immutable. They transcend all of history. And we, Kimaru, means we have fidelity to the same principles. We stood at the foot of Har Sinai almost 3,500 years ago. And we accepted the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. We observed that same Torah today. So we have physically endured, but we are spiritually of the same perspective as we were, as we stood at Har Sinai. So we celebrate both of those things. And V'Higyonu is a nod to the vicissitudes of Jewish history. Often in life, we have had Shechiyonu V'Kivmonu, but beyond that we need V'Higyonu, the practical means, the practical circumstances in which to observe the mitzvahs. I may be alive, and I may be committed to the mitzvahs, but do I have necessarily the circumstances, the physical circumstances, which allow me to celebrate the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah? So when we arrive at a mitzvah, and the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us circumstances which allow us to follow in the ways of his mitzvahs, that's V'Higyonu. And those are the three things that we thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for on the night of the Seder. And each time we recite Shechiyonu in this world, physical survival, spiritual survival, and the practical ability to act upon our views and our perspectives. The Haggadah is a statement of Eidah throughout. In the midst of the Haggadah, we have the rather peculiar, almost odd machlokes of the Tanoim. How many makis were there in Mitzrayim, and how many makis on the Yamsuf? The first Tana says there were 10 in Mitzrayim and 50 on Yamsuf. The second says it was 40 and 200. Rabbi Akiva finally says it was 50 and 250. Of what significance does it make to us presently that we should notice on the night of the Seder? What exactly is the point? And as I mentioned, I know there's a common interpretation given that the Ribbono Shel Olam stated, "Kol ha'machlo she'samti b'Mitzrayim lo osim alecho ki ani Hashem reifecho." that all the afflictions of Mitzrayim shall not afflict the Jewish people, and therefore, the greater the number of afflictions, the greater the bracha that the Rabbanu Shalom has given us. That's true. But I don't think in the simple meaning of the text that that's what the Haggadah wants. The Haggadah wants to underscore the degree of Haidah that we have to give to the Rabbanu Shalom. The degree of Haidah is commensurate with what the Rabbanu Shalom has done for us. If the Rabbanu Shalom did 50 nisim for us, that's one level of Haidah. If he did 200 nisim for us, that's a different level. If he did 250, I have an even greater obligation of Haidah. And therefore, the Tanaim explored what is the obligation that we have to sing the praises of the Rabbanu Shalom on the night of the Seder. From our perspective of Haidah, of our association and our appreciation of the Rabbanu Shalom, we take something else in Jewish history, which is yet to be, but in the night of the Seder, we relate to it in its most real and concrete terms that we find in any expression in the entire year. In the second half of the Seder, we have many, many messianic references. Shvach Amos Chol HaGoyim, varied of the Piyutim, which all talk about the fact given the base of the Korah, the Chagadya, Echad Miyodeya, which is also an expression of longing for the redemption. It's beyond the purview of tonight's shiur to go into, but that's its ultimate meaning. All of these references stem from the fact that there's a connection in Jewish history. The past and the future are connected. They are connected by the arc of our association with the Rabbanu Shalom. When we look at the past, we see Benis and Nigalu Avosenu. The Rabbanu Shalom promised us, Poko Yifkor Elokim Eschem, that through Yosef, that the Rabbanu Shalom would redeem us. We waited, and we suffered greatly until that time came, but it came. And it created all of Jewish history, 3,500 years of Jewish history, from Maimon Har Sinai until today. And just as that Geula came, when we celebrate that Geula, it makes the rest of the future of the Jewish people equally concrete. Is Benisen Nigalu, Benisen Asidin Lehigol. From the perspective of Nisan, from the perspective of celebrating Yitzias Mitzrayim, we can appreciate in a different sense, with a different sense of belief, and a different sense of expectation of the Rabbanu Shalom's ultimate redemption of the Jewish people. And that's to say there is complete by celebrating not only the past, but by sweeping us forward to where we're headed in Jewish history to. We live in truly wondrous times, unparalleled by any Jewish experience in all in 2,000 years of the diaspora. We have Baruch Hashem, millions of our brethren live al Admas HaKadosh. Something the Nevi'im talked about. There will be elderly Jews that will live in the streets, in the byways of Yerushalayim. The land will blossom, it will bloom. It's things that we've seen taking place in our lifetime. So we see that the Rabbanu Shalom has turned the clock forward. From that sense of what the Rabbanu Shalom has done is to strengthen us in the belief that the journey will be completed in the not distant future. Nisan is that in the Chag of Pesach is the celebration of the full scope of Jewish history. from Terach and Avram till Mashiach Tzidkenu. Haido is the deepest connection that we have to Rabbeinu Shalom. Tefillah is a longing for the abstract, the things that are not here yet, and our realization of our dependence on the Rabbeinu Shalom. Haido is for what's concrete, the things that have happened, that which the Rabbeinu Shalom has already done for me. And therefore, the deepest experience of tefillah is haido. At the end of the tefillah comes what? Maido. At the very end of the tefillah. The only thing that follows Maidim is Sim Shalom, because, as the Malbim writes at the end of Shiraz David, that commensurate with the level of appreciation that we have for the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom, may we intensify our tefillahs before him and ask him for that which we have yet to achieve. It is the greatest bracha Chazal tell us at the end of the Mishnah and Uktan is Shalom. We reserve that for the ultimate moment of tefillah. After Haido, after recognizing and thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom for everything which has taken place until now, now I'm ready to ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for Shalom. So the experience, as Rav Nachman elicited from Doro Avdei, that this experience of the Seder is boile oduye ilu shabuchai, that's the essence of what we celebrate on Pesach. But we have a very unique spirituality. A very unique spirituality. The world spirituality is based on beliefs. Our spirituality is based certainly on beliefs, but on mitzvahs maisius, mitzvahs that the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us to do. The human experience is not one-dimensional. The physical experience of man is man's most concrete experience in this world. The experience of the mind is abstract. If the experience of the mind finds expression in human action, then it becomes concrete. And the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us the ability through Mitzvos Maaseis to concretize our spirituality in the real world around us. Otherwise, spirituality becomes something which fades. It's pushed aside by the realities of life, by man's quest for survival, for honor and ambition in this world, leave little room for the expression of a spirituality. Only a lifestyle which incorporates the spirituality, a connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom, into daily existence, into the things that we do, only such a lifestyle can bring our spirituality to the front burner and to make it a real expression in our lives. So we cannot celebrate Pesach merely by sitting back on a couch and contemplating the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shalom. If we don't have a matzah, if we don't rid ourselves of the chometz, it won't work. The Rabbeinu Shalom sanctifies us, kachenu b'mitzvaysecho. Through the pursuit of his mitzvahs, through them we are connected to the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. And this is certainly the season for mitzvahs maisius. As I often note, this yontiv is the ultimate proof that Torah is min ha-shamayim. If any human being would come all around and enact this yontiv, we'd send him right out of here. Only the Rabbeinu Shalom himself could ask of us that we celebrate such a difficult Yontif. But what's interesting about it is, and it's not incidental, it's because of the difficulty of its celebration that it is the most elevated of all the Yom Tov, and is the one that strikes the deepest roots in the hearts of the Jewish people. Of all the memories that people have of their childhood, the experience of the night of the Seder is one of the deepest attachments that people have. And that's not by accident. In life, that which we invest in is what's significant. The tremendous investment, the upheaval that's Pesach, sets the stage for what this Yom Tov is. It is not something regular. It is not something ordinary. It is extraordinary to the nth degree. And I stop to think, it comes back to me, and I mention it again always at this time of the year. One of the great Rebbeim that I merited having in my life was Reb Lezer Plachinsky, Zecher Tzadik L'Vrocha. And he described to us once the non-Jewish reaction in Lithuania, to the Yontif of Pesach. He said the spirituality of this Yontif was so palpable that the non-Jews wished to attach themselves to it as well. Since he remembered throughout his lifetime that when the mailman came, Pesach time, to the house, the best tip that they could give the mailman was a piece of matzah. As he remembers, the mailman wore caps, and remembers the mailman breaking off a piece of the matzah and eating it, and taking off his cap and putting the rest of the matzah under it to take home to his family, that they should also experience the Yontif of Pesach. The world around us saw the intense spirituality of this Yontif. They also wanted to touch it. And I've noted in the past, and with this we'll begin the halachas, the parallels in the halacha between ridding ourselves of avodah zarah and ridding ourselves of chametz. And those are thematically connected to each other, Ramei HaSimcha tells us. That chametz was part and parcel of the avodah zarah of Mitzrayim. And in the laws of avodah zarah are very similar. We have laws of beer, of destruction, removing chametz. That there's no bittul. It's true by avodah zarah too. It's true by chametz. There are parallels between these two sets of halachas. And therefore, our perspective is, as we begin the celebration of Pesach, in a physical sense, there can be no remnant of the chametz. In a spiritual sense, there should be no remnant of those parts of our lives which are inconsistent with the Ribbono Shel Olam. As small as they may be, as insignificant as they may be appear, we have to cleanse our hearts of them as well. That Chag is 2 weeks from tonight, is the Chag. I experience, when I tell you that, both a rush and a chill.